Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Well, time is fleeting, so if you have not had time yet to plan your fall reading or that moment when you can just grab a good book and get going, now is certainly your chance. This morning, Joan Grenier and Emily Crow join us to present a fine list of books that will just have you up all night. You'll have a turning pages, enjoying great literature, enjoying great books. And they're from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. And we're thrilled to have them here, not just because they always have a terrific selection of books, but also Odyssey is celebrating its 50th anniversary. And we'll talk about that this morning as well. And so first and foremost, happy anniversary. That's an amazing accomplishment.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
We're very excited.
Not supposed to happen.
And we don't look a day over 49.
No, that's right. And the fact that you're here and have been around for, that's just a wonderful accomplishment.
Thank you.
Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. All right. So let us begin with books. And we begin with Emily.
Okay. All right. I can't begin to tell you how excited I am about this first book, The Rosie Project by Graham Simsion. It is absolutely the funniest novel I have ever read, and one of the funniest books I've ever read, putting it up there with funny memoirs by, you know, Tina Fey and Ellen DeGeneres and people like that. Almost everybody I know will be getting a copy of this book for the holidays. men, women, old and young, you name it, everyone in between. This book is already a sensation in Australia, and it's sold in over 36 countries worldwide. Graham Simsion has created a 21st century romantic hero, and his name is Don. And Don would be a major catch if only he could get a second date with a woman. He's brilliant, he's loyal, he's handsome, but women find his behavioral quirks very off-putting, to say the least. But he longs for romance, and he longs for a life partner, and he decides to create a 16-page questionnaire to discover who that person might be. He's very sincere in his search, but he is way misguided in his belief that scientific method can and will lead to lasting romance. In less careful hands, Don Tillman would be a caricature of himself. But the author is very kind and generous with Don and with Don's undiagnosed Asperger's. I think this book has a tremendous appeal that is as close to universal as a novel can get. And the fact that it's funny enough to make you snort out loud while reading it is really just a bonus.
Yes. Reading, snorting is always good.
Yes.
You know, I read this and after... so many people told me that I would love it, and but I got sort of an Ann Tyler vibe to it.
Huh.
I like it.
I haven't read Ann Tyler, so I can't comment.
Oh yeah,
on
well,
that.
Just there's just sort of the sort of downtrodden male character,
gotcha.
Which she has perfected. So
well,
good stuff. It's
very
called
funny.
The Rosie Project is the name of the novel, it's
and we have signed
reviews.
first
U.S. printing.
Very nice.
Yes.
Congratulations. All right. Where to next?
Me again or you?
You again.
Okay. All right. So next I'm going to move in the direction of nonfiction.
All right.
Bill Bryson's book, One Summer, America, 1927. It is no secret that I'm much more of an avid novel reader than I am nonfiction, but Bill Bryson is the one nonfiction writer that I read pretty much obsessively. This book takes a look at lots of major and minor events in the U.S. during the summer of 1927, but in the book, he's also laying the groundwork for those events, and he goes on to discuss the repercussions of those events. So the book actually reads more like a history of the entire decade of the 1920s. We get lots of famous and not so famous writers and names scattered throughout the novel. Some of the ones that stuck out with me were Babe Ruth, Jack Dempsey, Charles Lindbergh, and political figures like Calvin Coolidge. Now, I'm not necessarily interested in baseball or boxing or aviation for that matter.
But you can't say that today.
Oh, right. It is the wrong season.
Yeah.
Forget I said that.
But she loves the Red Sox.
Sure I do. Love them.
You can't say that today.
But I get a little
go
thrill
Sox
when I learn stories about underdogs who come along and all of a sudden they are doing something better in their field than anybody else who has ever come before them. And stories like that move me very deeply. And it was nothing short of amazing to read about how the history of aviation changed when Charles Lindbergh came along. You know, he does go into his lesser desirable traits, such as his fondness for the Nazi Party as well. But it was also fascinating to read about how Babe Ruth changed the face of baseball with his outside talent and personality. Like the very first season Babe Ruth was playing baseball professionally, he hit more home runs than the rest of the National League combined, which is kind of crazy. I mean,
it doesn't happen anymore.
No one was doing the sorts of things until he came along.
Right.
But one of the great things I love about Bill Bryson is how he draws connections between people and events that don't seem at all related on the surface. And thus we hear how, like Charles Lindbergh, attended a show on Broadway the night before his famous flight, and therefore the last normal night of his life. And though that show was a flop, the writer went on to write Showboat, which changed the face of the Broadway musical as we know it. This book is perfect for dipping into one chapter at a time. You don't have to read it straight through, which is one of the things I love about his books. And it's a sad day when you don't learn something new. So if you feel that way, too, you can pick up this book to read and have many happy days in front of you.
It is Bill Bryson, and he's always terrific. It's called One Summer 1927 by Bill Bryson. And it's a terrific book and a wonderful writer. All right.
Well, I'm going to talk about Doris Kearns Goodwin, The Bully Pulpit, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, and the Golden Age of Journalism. Now, this is merely 750 pages with 100 pages of footnotes, which is about 3,000 footnotes. And I just got the book, so I'm only about 200 pages in, but it is so detailed. I can't imagine what historians are going to do with all the letters that people like Taft and Roosevelt wrote along with the McClure's journalists, which are really a fascinating part of this book. And, you know, every day people were writing letters and saving them.
Yeah.
So there's an amazing amount of documentation and primary sources here. We're very excited to welcome Doris to Mount Holyoke College, Chapin Auditorium, on... where's the date? November 16th at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And it's a Saturday afternoon. And we're just so delighted that she's coming because she's such an amazing personality and an amazing historian. And this period is pretty incredible. Some of the facts that I learned, Theodore Roosevelt's mother and wife died on the same day.
Yeah.
And he's going up and down the house to visit with both of them when he's a young New York State assemblyman. The age of journalism is just amazing in how it gets started. So I think this will be one of the best-selling books around the holiday for anyone who is a history buff at all.
She's such a great writer,
mm-hmm.
And it is the way the story is told is brilliant. And it's just a delight. I'm about the same place you are, and I'm just having a great time with it. It's one of those things to savor.
So we really hope people come out. This is a huge auditorium we have. It holds over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And we do ask people, if you want to be in the signing line, to purchase the book from the Odyssey.
That's what it takes, and
yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Check out the book. It is The Bully Pulpit, and you can find out more information about the event, which is on the 16th of November, by going to odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com, and don't miss it. It'll be very, very fun.
Indeed.
Next up.
I am going to see your 750-page book and raise the stakes to a 771-page book.
All right.
I am talking about Donna Tartt's book, The Goldfinch. We've been waiting, 10 years for her last book, and it's very hard to summarize a novel that's nearly 800 pages long, so I won't try to go into it in great detail. I'm just going to say that it's the story of a boy named Theo, whose mother dies in a bomb attack at the Metropolitan Museum of Art when he is quite young. And during the chaos following the explosion, another dying man next to Theo suggests that he pocket a small piece of art that got blasted out of its frame. And Theo takes it, puts it in his pocket, and is still, of course, completely shell-shocked from everything. And from that moment on, the death of his mother and his choice to take that painting with him are the twin threads of DNA that hold this book together. The book itself is amazing. The writing is gorgeous, and the book is well-plotted and full of Dickensian characters and twists and turns. And I think Donna Tartt is such an incredible writer that all I can say is this book is absolutely worth the time that you put into it. And if you happen to fall asleep while reading this enormously heavy hardcover, it's probably also worth any minor concussion you might might incur if it falls on your head. This is a fine novelist. I think she is at the height of her talent, and she is fulfilling all of her early promise. And it's astonishing.
Because the Secret History was amazing.
It was.
I love that book. And then the second book, not as much.
I think a lot of readers felt that way.
So now so I'll take your word now, because I'll make the commitment now.
Make it. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed.
I've heard this. This seems to be a winner. It's The Goldfinch, Donna Tartt, published by Little Brown. Next up.
I can talk ever so briefly about a book called Longborn by Joe Baker.
Oh, yes.
You know, you hear a lot of people who talk about, you know, the next great thing is this meets that. And usually people who are fans of this or that end up being disappointed. And this book is a novel of Pride and Prejudice meets Downton Abbey. And I know everyone, you know, is comparing everything to Downton Abbey these days, because who doesn't want more of that fabulous right. BBC series? But this book really is living up to all of those comparisons. It is basically the below stairs story of what happens during the course of the novel of Pride and Prejudice. So we're getting the story of the housemaid and the butler and the footman. And we are getting those scenes of what it must be like to have really been taking care of the Bennet family. And we're getting the perspective from young Sarah, who is the housemaid. And the narrative style is a third-person point of view, but it's told using lots of old-fashioned and archaic turns of phrase. So while it's got a modern sensibility, it is also paying homage to the actual Regency language of Austen herself. And it's a really good historical fiction.
The novel is Longborn. It is by Joe Baker and published by Knopf. Excellent. All right. Are we going to talk anniversary now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So it's the 50th anniversary of the Odyssey Bookshop. It was started by your father.
Yes. My father, Romeo Grenier, who was a French-Canadian immigrant to Holyoke, Massachusetts. He was a pharmacist by trade, but he brought books into his drugstore. These are the old-fashioned drugstores with the soda fountain and...
Good drugstores. Yeah.
And there were booths in the back, and there was a round table. So there was always a lot of discussion going on. And in 1963, Mount Holyoke College asked him to open a bookstore in South Hadley. And so a wing was built attaching to an old inn. And that was the origins of the Odyssey. Now, one thing that may seem strange to people is that we were, at that point, we were organized by publisher, not by category. Which was more a British thing that was kind of phasing out when my father started it. But
there are stores that still do that, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
In the U.S.?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to two of them, actually.
Do you remember where they are?
I can tell you. I have it written down.
Okay.
I, like off the top of my head, I don't remember, but they're fascinating. I love
it. Yes. Well, some people really loved it. Other people were like frustrated.
Yeah. Actually, one was in Canada. But go ahead. Yeah.
This was before computers.
Yeah.
So you had to know your publishers and what they might be stocking, what categories. So the store continued to grow. My father was a pharmacist. He would go back if there was a prescription that needed to be filled. He'd go back to the drugstore. It was just a few steps away and fill that. And it grew in the 70s, sort of the golden years of book selling. And I got involved because I had always sort of worked there part-time, but off and on. But in 1985, the Odyssey was the victim of arson in December. And my father was 75 at that point. So I was actually taking my GREs to go on and get a graduate degree in history. And I said I would help out for a little while. And that was 1985. About 6 months later, in May of 86, my father called me in the middle of the night and said, the Odyssey's burning. And I told him to go back to bed because he was having a bad dream. But in fact, it was burning. And at that point, the arsonist was caught. So the whole center of South Hadley was destroyed at that point. You know, we're a small town. There were at least six businesses each time that were destroyed. And that's when when I said to my dad, do you think we can go by subject now? Because we're really starting without any books. It would be easy to do at this point. And we had a tremendous amount of support from the college and from the community. And so I said I would stay for a little while. And then we went on. You know, my father was active. We were sharing the business together. And, you know, there are many, many milestones. 1989, we computerized, which was a big step for us. And before that, it was all books and print. I don't know if you remember those
sure
huge.
Big volumes.
Big volumes, little print.
Very little print.
And we started hosting book readings, and that's become really a signature of the Odyssey. We do over 125 events a year, and we're having quite a bit of activity for our 50th anniversary. And when Emily came on board, in fact, when I was interviewing Emily, she talked about this first edition club that she had been part of in Mississippi. And I said, that's a very good idea. And I think we'll hire her, too. And so the first edition club has been around since
2001.
Okay, 2001. And it has grown to over 275 people. You can jump in here, Emily, because Emily is one of the people who puts it all together. There's a selection committee. I'll let you talk about it.
Sure. We have four of us in the store. We read books months ahead of publication time, and we try to pick the book that we think best would suit our members. We pick books based on literary merit and what we hope will become potential collectability.
Yeah. And then it's signed first editions. And then
signed first editions go sent to your doorstep every month. It's a great deal, great way to build a library.
Great dreams like that.
We also have a gift of reading for children, three different categories of ages for children, and Hannah picks out those books, and it's a wonderful thing for grandparents and aunts and uncles who want to be part of.
Well, it's everything that a bookstore should be, an independent bookstore should be, and you're right in a town center. You have a wonderful support from the college community and from the community at large, and there are a lot of storms that you've had to weather, and you've weathered them, you know, quite nicely. Thank you very much.
There have been some difficult moments.
Well, sure. You know, and it's, I guess it's not supposed to be easy, but you're here, you know, 50 years later, and that's incredible. That's really
It
wonderful.
Is amazing. We couldn't have done it without this kind of staff that we have, amazing staff that loves books and could be making lots more money anyplace else. I mean, it is still retail, so it's low paying, and they're creative, they're innovative. As I've gotten older, I've had to depend on them more for, like, social media and
all that stuff.
Yeah. although I do Facebook myself.
So how are you celebrating?
So on November 8th through 10th, we're having a store-wide sale. But we're also having, on the 8th, we're having a treasure hunter scavenger hunt at 5:30 for kids. And also a pirate pajama party that night at 6:30. The next day, we're having face painting, yummy snacks, Atkins, which is a local, it's about as old as the Odyssey. It was a farm stand, and now it's really a big store in South Amherst. They are co-sponsoring. They're donating a cake and some cider donuts and cider. We're having live broadcast with a local radio station, and we're having a 50-second shopping spree for up to $500, which you must be in the store for, and that'll be around quarter of four. And we're having a cookbook tasting table on Sunday. We're having prizes every 50 minutes. Our publishers have been very generous, and so we're having raffles every 50 minutes of some wonderful books, including some signed books. And on Sunday, we're having a Fancy Nancy tea party for kids at 2. And then my father, even though he was French-Canadian, he served in the Navy in World War II in England, and he became a real Anglophile. So we're having, and he had tea in the bookstore every day. So we're having a high tea that my friend Carlene is preparing at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And there'll also be music.
Mm-hmm.
Different local bands or groups will be playing. And we're looking forward to having a very busy weekend. We're also doing, I've been scanning photos, old photos. So we've been putting those up on the web and on Facebook, and we'll have a slideshow of those.
That'll be really fun. Wonderful way to celebrate. It's the 50th anniversary of the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts. You can visit them at 9 College Street in South Hadley. And go to the website and check it all out. It is odysseybks.com, odysseybks.com. Find out a full menu of events that are going on throughout the weekend and throughout the week and in November, including the Doris Kearns Goodwin event and the many other wonderful book events that you have. And congratulations.
Andre DeVos is coming.
Yeah.
One of our favorites.
Dirty Love is the new book.
Dirty
it's
Love.
Just so great.
And he'll be there on the 7th. And then we're very excited that Rebecca Eaton is coming, who's a longtime producer of Masterpiece Theater and Masterpiece Mystery. So
all good stuff.
All good stuff.
Excellent. You can find out more at odysseybks.com. Emily Joan, I thank you very much. I wish you the happiest of anniversaries. Congratulations on this wonderful accomplishment. And have fun celebrating.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.